Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Banks it in!
KC Johnson.
Come and get some of this.
Bulls basketball.
Whoa! Stop it! Stop it! Did not do it like that!
Taking you inside the locker room with KC Johnson.
Oh my goodness! Did you not get the memo?
Mulligan Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the score. KC Johnson joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. It's upon us, KC. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, KC.
Happy draft day, gentlemen.
Oh, boy. This is it. This is the franchise-altering move up for Zion Williams. No. What's going to happen? It's a lot of fun because the Bulls are mentioned in a lot of trade rumors.
Well, it is draft day.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, are they more likely to move up or move down? If there are six teams trying to get that fourth pick, what would you have to give up to get it? It seems like a lot.
Yeah, that's the thing, is just how many people are trying to move up. Now you even got a late report from the great Hall of Famer Peter Vesey late last night saying that New Orleans is even trying to move up to get Barrett. So there are a lot of everyone understands how top heavy the draft is. Everybody's got their targets at the top. So with that many teams trying to move up, I mean, the safe guess is that the Bulls aren't going to be able to do it. It would take a future first round pick. There is precedent for this management team for doing that. They did that to get Luol Deng in 2004. The franchise at that point, to me, even though it was in a rebuild, like this one seemed like it's in a little different spot because they didn't have as many starting positions nailed down as they do this time. So I personally think that's a pretty high price to pay, and they'll stay at 7, but they're not going to get a real big impact player at 7, I don't think. So the big takeaway to me is just how disappointing that draft lottery last month was, because, you know, you're sitting at 4, you get your guy in Garland right there probably, so dropping from 4 to 7 was really crucial for this franchise.
Casey, I think the Bulls stay at 7. I think they probably look at who's been taken ahead of them, and I think that the point guards will be off the board. They'll probably end up with a guy like Cam Reddish, and then they'll probably get somebody in the second round maybe to fill the point guard need. But if they do, let's play the if game. If they do move up to 4, what is the logic behind giving up an asset, which would be a first-round draft pick in next year's draft, to get a guy potentially as dynamic as Darius Garland is if healthy?
Well, first, a quick word about Cam Reddish, and there is a lot of misinformation in the time here, but I've been told the Bulls want nothing to do with that guy, so I'd be surprised if that's the pick personally. But as far as moving up, the justification is that he's your guy and that he can be a star. I mean, you hear these comps to like Damian Lillard and you know, with his shooting range and his shooting ability. You've even heard some people throw out Chris Paul in the sense that he's a true point guard and a leader. But here's the problem that I have with that, and I'm not saying I'm right. I've said many times I'm a terrible basketball GM. I'm arguably okay basketball beat writer, but I'm a journalist, not a GM. But my problem with giving up assets and going to get Garland is this. In 2016, you almost traded Jimmy Butler to the Celtics because you had to have Chris Dunn at number 3. A year later, you end up making that move and trade Butler to the Timberwolves, and you get Dunn, obviously, as part of that package. He ended up going 5. And Dunn had to be your guy. He was the guy. He was your identified point guard. So, you know, how are you so sure that Garland's the guy? And giving up another future asset to go get that guy? I understand you got some holes at point guard, but you also have a pretty deep free agent class at that position this summer. And, you know, maybe they want to go young to line up that starter with some of these other crucial guys to rebuild. I don't know. I just think you're at a point in your rebuild where keeping as many of your assets as you have is the more prudent choice. But, you know, those guys are at a higher pay grade than me when it comes to basketball making decisions.
You know, I think this is a relatively easy draft to figure out. I mean, I don't know the actual name of the player that they're going to take, but if they stay at seven, we know who the first four picks are going to be, right? So now you're choosing between three players, two of whom would be guards, you know, Coby White what's the other kid?
Jarrett Culver?
Culver, and then DeAndre Hunter, right? Mm-hmm. So you odds are you'll wind up with one of those three players if you stay there. If you don't, you know, if you could somehow get two first round picks for the seven, if you got 10 and 17 or something, whatever,
right?
Could you then, you know, you mentioned that kid from France,
Sekou Doumbouya.
Oh yeah, right. Exactly. could you then? Would that be a wiser move, or would that be a? I mean, is the quality of those three players so superior to the next five? And I know you're kind of looking at developing and trying to get somebody that would be raw and hoping that you stumble upon a player a la
Giannis.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's some. You know, prudence to that, and I assume that they are having that conversations to explore moving down. You know, to me, Coby White is the mystery one, because if he's off the board at six, you know, there was a strong rumor around the time of the draft combine last month that he wasn't going to get past Phoenix at six. That quieted down a little bit, but I think it's kind of back on. I think he will be off the board. So then you're looking at one of those wings. And one guy we haven't mentioned that I've heard that the Bulls are very intrigued by is Jackson Hayes. They see him as a Jared Allen type rim runner that can, you know, be a rim protector defensively and run the floor offensively. But he's raw too. I mean, he only played one season of college basketball. All these guys. Let's also, beyond the big takeaway of how bad it hurt them to drop from 4 to 7 last month of the draft lottery, let's also get to this big takeaway. It's not a very good draft, I mean, on paper. I mean, obviously there's going to be one or two players that develop that you didn't expect or come from lower picks and turn into very, very good players. But as far as star potential, it's not a very deep draft. So I certainly assume that they're having conversations about trading up and trading down, and obviously have their board ranked tiers for the seven pick. And I just think they're going to ultimately add, you know, one player at seven, one player at 38 for the rebuild, and then move into free agency with that, you know, $23, $25 million worth of cap space.
It's not sexy, but I almost would feel better about them moving down to getting assets if they get two guys, say the 10 and 17 from the Hawks, to move up. That might be because of the reasons you just described, KC. And I wondered this, you bring up free agency. Chris Middleton opts out of the contract yesterday with the Bucks. I think maybe that was expected. Maybe he continues to be, you know, work out a long-term deal with them. Is the Bulls free agency plan affecting what they're thinking tonight is going into this draft? Do you think they're related? And did anything that's happened so far in this crazy NBA week that was affect that?
Well, I mean, the Bucks made the move last night to trade Tony Snell, so they got off a little bit of money. And, you know, yesterday their GM had some pre-draft availability and said, you know, we're not afraid of paying the luxury tax. So between Conley moving to Utah and those comments and those moves by the Bucks, Brogdon probably being off limits, you know, that shrinks the free agency pool a little bit. I never got the sense the Bulls were going to, you know, try to go after Conley. It was an idea floated by some media members, or at least approached, floated as a possibility by some media members, including myself, the night of the draft lottery. Brogdon is somebody that I think intrigues him, obviously, because he's a leader and a good shooter, but it would take a pretty high offer sheet. That the Bulls historically have not been a big offer sheet team. To answer your question, David, though, free agency and the draft, to me, are absolutely tied together, because you got these The big one is the point guard, because John Paxson has gone on record so many times and so strongly as saying that they want to upgrade the position. And so you're either going to get one tonight or you're going to get one in free agency. And I'm sure they have, you know, plans as to what their priorities are as far as, you know, whether Garland's the first priority and then you move to the second one, whether that be signing Patrick Beverley, what have you. I'm not privy to those plans, but they are absolutely tied together.
you know, next year's draft's supposed to be better.
Yeah.
I know it would be a protected pick if you traded next year's draft pick. At some point, the Bulls have to stop getting younger, right? And at some point, you would think that that would kick in. Is this not the draft to do that?
That's a good question, Mike. I mean, I can keep coming back, though, to the asset thing. And it sounds like we're kind of in agreement on this because, you know, I know that John is getting itchy with the losing, and you know last season was nowhere near where they wanted it to be with all the injuries and the worst record of the year before. But he's also talked about being patient with the rebuild, and it's only been two seasons, and you know rebuilds are painful and they take a long time. They are going to get older and some veterans with the free agency money they have. They're going to get some solid role playing veterans that can help them, I would assume, on short-term deals. So to me, you use this pick at seven tonight. You add some decent guys in free agency. You hope for some internal improvement from Markkanen and Levine. And I would think that if you stay healthy, you're going to be better. But you're probably not going to be great better. So then you've still got a decent, you know, maybe low lottery pick next year. And then that, to me, is what the rebuild's about. And yes, you do need to get older at some point, but you know, you've identified Markkanen and Levine as your two main building blocks. Those guys will be a year older next year. You add one more, you know, possible lottery pick and then see what you got. And at some point, you know, what they also keep talking about is being in position to be have the flexibility of making a trade if a star becomes available. So you start piling enough assets up or you start keep hitting on draft picks. You know, it looks like you've hit on Markkanen. The book, it's too early on Carter, but the early, very early returns are promising. You know, you hit here tonight at seven, you start building up some assets. So maybe you are in a position at some point to go trade for a star. So I don't know. I'm an asset hoarder, particularly in a rebuild. So I personally, you know, think trading up and sending away a future first for Garland is not the move I would make.
So quickly, before we let you go, with the seventh overall pick of the 2019 NBA draft, the Bulls select.
This is not going to be a popular decision, and I've been wrong many times before, but I'm going to go. I think Coby White's off the board. I think Garland's off the board. I think they're going to go with Jackson Hayes.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks, KC. That's good great stuff.
Thanks, KC. All right, guys. See you, buddy.
Thank you.
That's KC Johnson, the basketball man from the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.